gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 549. This is your host, Danny, a.k.a. Godfrey. And guess what we have this week? The usual co-hosts. Let's start with Postin.
All right, first. Yes. What's up, Danny?
You're special now, man. You're
Thanks,
first.
Man. I appreciate that. That feels good.
Yes. What about you, man? What's going on with your life?
Going good. I feel like I've kind of taken a little bit of a break from gaming. Because I actually have not been playing The Division like you guys have all week. So I'll be curious to hear your guys' thoughts a little bit later on the show about that so far. But no, just spending family time, trying to do more outdoor things. It's spring now in Georgia, so the weather's a lot nicer. Probably going to go see some movies this weekend, like The Brothers Grimsby, Sacha Baron Cohen film coming out. Probably going to go see that. Still need to see The Revenant. Didn't see that last year. So yeah, just good spirits, good times. Pretty excited to probably get in some hardcore gaming this weekend.
Definitely. I'm going to be probably watching the Cloverfield.
Yeah, that's right. Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane's coming out too. Like the trailer, I don't know anything more than just the trailer they have on TV for it, but it looks pretty cool. I saw the original in theaters years ago and really enjoyed
Same
that.
Same here.
So yeah, I know this is a different type of film entirely. Not the shaky cam nonsense anymore people seem to have issues with, but it looks cool. John Goodman, you know, when has he been in a bad movie? Yeah, I'll probably have to check that out too. Good call, Danny. I forgot about Cloverfield.
All right, there you go.
Nice.
And also we have Pete. Pete, what's up, man? What's going on?
What's up?
I don't know. You're like Division.
Oh, 24/7. I'm done.
That's in your blood. That's it. Forget about Destiny.
Oh no, Destiny.
That's all
been,
he plays.
Destiny has been retired. It's officially on the shelf. I have done to Destiny what Paris has done to the Emerald. It is officially put away. It's done.
So we're done with the science fiction. We're straight on back to that Tom Clancy tactical goodness.
It brings me back. It's funny because it brings me back to the Call of Duty when it first came out. It brings me back to the Destiny when it first came out. It brings me, honestly, the one it brings me back to the most, like notwithstanding the RPG elements of the game, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfare, Warfighter, the first one.
Good times.
That is what it reminds me of, and that is why I've been up till 2 a.m. the last 3 nights playing The Division.
So we're definitely going to be talking about that a lot.
Okay, yeah. I'll hold the rest of my thoughts.
I definitely want to hear from you guys, but I know we don't want to drive people crazy with Division off the bat. Just like our Destiny talk. We be careful with the D's, you guys. We go a little bit too hardcore in the fandom when it comes to the
pause,
D games.
The D's.
Pause.
Yeah.
Pausing with crazy. The pause.
Too funny, man. Too funny. All right, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. You can check us out over there. And tell us how we're doing. Feedback. Review us on iTunes, Stitcher. Also, you can find us on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other places. Just spread the word about Gamertag Radio. And whenever you get the chance, take our very short 3-minute survey. It will help us out big time. Let us know where you're from and how you're listening to the podcast. Just go to playitsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com, and it will help us out big time. Another thing, too, email us if you want to be part of the fan mail episodes. Hit us up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. That's fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. I know we've been getting a lot of listeners from Spotify. Please continue emailing us. Let us know where you're listening, where you're from, and how you found us on Spotify. Was it because we just went to the gaming section? You just found them a mistake or what? I'm very, very curious about that, man.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
So let's start off with this, man. The Division becomes the fastest selling title in Ubisoft's history. Insane.
Congratulations. I got to say, this surprises me. I'll be honest. I really would have thought that, you know, Assassin's Creed, Ghost Recon, Rainbow Six, a lot of things feel like they did really well when they came out. But this seems like the marketing might of Ubisoft was behind The Division since day one. They had a big plan for this game. You know, obviously huge post-launch plans all throughout 2016. They announced all the expansion content coming out, the DLC. So it's big. It's exciting to, you know, feel like I've been on the sidelines of this for so long. You know, excited to probably, you know, definitely try out the game this weekend. But it's congratulations, Ubisoft. I mean, you really an ambition. You had a drive. You knew what you wanted to make. It seems like it took a lot of feedback from the beta versions of the game. I know we've been following the development of this since literally it was the day it announced. We were all sitting at E3 2 years ago when they first announced this. So it's crazy to see how long this long journey has come together for them, and they deserve it. It seems like it's a fun game. Seems successful. Gets me excited for the future of Ubisoft because, you know, next year's Assassin's Creed sounds like it could be amazing. Of course, Ghost Recon Wildlands is coming out. So Ubisoft seems like they're off to a great 2016 and 2017 as well. So again, congrats, guys. Definitely. The team over there at Division.
They sold more copies in this first 24 hours than any other previous title in the company's history. So that's kind of crazy. Insane. And another thing, too, 2016, I think, is going to be their year because I just received the MPDs today. And Far Cry Primal sold the most the month of February.
Awesome.
Than any other game out there. So they're doing that. They're making moves, man. They're making a lot of moves. Shout out to everybody over there at Ubisoft, man. So, but see, Pete, I know that the game came out. You know, I've been playing the game. Don't get me wrong. I like the game a lot. Okay. But supposedly there's been a lot of issues with the game. I haven't seen any yet. You know, I'm on level 7 right now.
Okay.
There's people that been complaining about the logging issues. Maybe kicking them out while playing the one of the missions with during matchmaking or something. So, you, Pete, you're level what right now?
I am currently a level 16.
16. So, 16. Have you been having issues with the game just server-wise or just playing the game?
At all. I've had one single instance of a disconnect, and this actually happened late last night for recording sake. We're recording this on Thursday night. So Wednesday night, probably say around 10, 11 o'clock after playing from like 4 in the afternoon all the way through to, you know, till about 10:30 at night. First time I had a disconnect in the entire time. And I've probably put a good, let's see, 4 hours first night, 8 hours second. Yeah, I've probably put in close to 20 hours just running around being stupid. And I have had one single instance where we dropped and the game brings you right back in to the instance that you were playing with your friends. There's no need to reconnect. Brings you right back in once it reloads. So this even includes, like, actually, Danny, when you and I played that Monday night, that first night, we were having some technical difficulties with audio. And actually, that was actually a mic cable on my side that was causing the problem. But
I thought it was me. I was like, no, I don't know what else to do.
But the funny thing is you and I physically rebooted, like, a hard reset of our Xboxes. And as soon as we launched the game, it brought it right back into the game without any like, you know, having to find you and join your game. It brought us instantly into each other's game instance. So
yeah,
kudos to them. Considering Ubisoft hasn't had the biggest or the strongest track record with multiplayer based game launches, a la, you know, Rainbow Six Siege most recently. Considering this has gone as well, frankly, I am surprised. I was expecting something, but the fact that I haven't had any, not to say that there hasn't been reports. I know there's some people that have been complaining about the griefing issue where people stand in front of doors and prevent people from going through.
That is kind of annoying though, Pete.
It's annoying, but it's not it's not a bug. Like, it's not something that fundamentally breaks the game. You can eventually push your way through. Yes, it's annoying and it's a pain in the neck, but it's not something...
They could fix that, though. They could fix that.
They can and they can't. Like, I can see how, like, when you're using ladders and you're crawling, you know, you're going up or down the ladders, you can actually be person in person. Like, you could be two people in the same physical space, but you can't do that for the doors. So I don't know I doubt that they're going to be able to widen any doors, you know, mass on and you know, in mass via code. But again, I've had minimal issues, and you know, I'm playing on the Emerald. I have not played the PC version yet, and I'm going to do that once I get my video card back from Gigabyte from a repair. I'm thinking about PS4, but I think two platforms is kind of enough. I don't want to burn myself out in the first month, but I will say, compared to the alphas and the betas, and obviously it's the reason why they're the alpha and the beta. I know that was one thing that Paris had a big complaint about, was that there might not be enough content to handle things, you know, to be supportive of, you know, future content on here. Mm-hmm. But if you really think about it, I mean, from my perspective, I've played three nights straight till 2 a.m. Eastern, and I haven't even gone into the Dark Zone. The Dark Zone is one of the
biggest... You haven't been to the Dark Zone yet? What?
No,
I haven't been there either.
I haven't had a reason to go. Oh, wow. There's so much to do from a PvE standpoint. I haven't had a reason to go there because most of the times and that's usually a dividing line. Some people will be all PvP, some people will be all PvE. I like to play both sides, but I haven't had a reason to be like, okay, well, you know, there's nothing to do here. Let me go over there. And maybe that's because, you know, it's still the first week, so it's got the new car smell. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm happy. But the true answer will be 30 days from launch, if it still has that holding power as, you know, the Destinies and the Call of Duties and the games before this. That's going to be the biggest deciding factor, whether this is a true success. And I know I always ruin his name, but what is Guillaume, the CEO for Ubisoft?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had a conference call and a conversation with Polygon. And he talks about how The Division represents the future for Ubisoft, and that internally they're actually putting a dividing line of before Division, after Division eras within the company. So that's pretty
this
cool.
Is a big deal for them.
Absolutely.
It is. I think this is going to change a lot of things for Ubisoft because of this game. This to me is, they're going to learn the mistakes from this launch. Mm-hmm. And they're going to learn from that and make Ghost Recon even better because the mistakes that they made with the Division, mm-hmm. you know? So,
well, they can always use it as a testing ground. I mean, I don't know if they're using the same engine or not. I don't know how they schedule that kind of stuff internally at Ubisoft. But I would imagine whatever technology they're optimizing to have the players, you know, organically appear in each other's worlds is, I imagine, the same drop-in, drop-out technology they'd want to have in Ghost Recon Wildlands, because that is a gigantic, you know, huge RPG level of space, but as a third-person shooter with a four-player cooperative aspect, and I would imagine they'd want that to work right out the gate, no questions at all, because games of that size always seem to have a lot of issues and bugs. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I imagine the Division is set up into different zones that you walk into and has to do a loading sequence, right? It's not like all of Manhattan loads at once.
Not really possible.
No, you jump into the game, the entire area, the entire southern portion of New York, you know, of Manhattan Island is ready to go.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the game will tell you, okay, this is for level 5 mm-hmm. to 7 or level 5 to 10.
But that's just like a pop-up warning. That's not just like you hitting a load screen and saying, hey, this is a high-level area reloading.
No, think of it as, I would say the best way to think about it is think of the intro to Fringe, the TV show, if you've watched it, where you're seeing an area and it's got the big thing. Okay, this is the Chelsea section of New York City, you know, level, you know, X to X. You can go, you can walk right in. There's no stop. There's no load. You literally just, it's like crossing a line at the grocery store. There's no change other than the environment. You know, you're, yep. you're walking into a room, you're walking into a building, you're going into a corridor, but there's no load time. The only time that I've experienced a where it goes from one part of the city to the second is at the beginning when, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know if this is a spoiler. I mean, it's not really, everybody was concerned about, or everybody had heard that there was a possibility of going into Brooklyn. It's at the beginning of the game. You go from Brooklyn to Manhattan, and that's the only change. That's the only time that there's a loading screen, and you have, you know, the CG, you know, the CGI cut screen in between. From legitimately, it's from when you go from Brooklyn to Manhattan. It's legitimate. It's where the alpha and the beta starts.
Yep.
And by that time, yeah. you're around the, yeah. the level 3 to 4. So I don't know. This is something that Ubisoft needed to do. They needed to hit it out of the park day one. And whether that's as a result of focus groups and testing alphas and betas, or experience with failed launches such as, I mean, Rainbow Six kind of had a debacle, Watch Dogs, yeah, Ubisoft, or I'm sorry, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
This is the game that a lot of people, myself included, was kind of skeptical and concerned that, okay, maybe they lost that edge that they had back in the day with the Rainbow Sixes and the Ghost Recons, which, although they may have had minor issues at launch, they were rather strong, you know, 2-3 weeks after launch. There's not that many things to complain about. Some people say it's kind of boring and repetitive, but hey, welcome to an MMO.
We hear the same thing with Destiny too.
It's like, yeah, it's
but here's the thing, Pete. You know, look, I didn't play the beta, mm-hmm. didn't play the alpha. I went here as this is like a brand new game to me, and I'm enjoying the game, and I feel that it's a lot easier for me to find things in a map mm-hmm. more than Destiny, in my opinion. I don't know. I'm not trying to debate or anything like that. It's just like, I feel there's way more stuff to do in this game than Destiny. Like, when compared to like the launches so far, I think it's a lot easier for me. I feel that Destiny, there was a lot of loading time. You go to the planet, you see the ship, it's loading. You know,
yeah, a lot
it's
of
annoying.
The only thing,
yeah,
this is more of you're in there and it's already there. And the only time that it will maybe load is like when you do the matchmaking, or maybe when you meet with your team,
mm-hmm.
your friends online and stuff.
And that's one of the things. I mean, if you're yeah. right, so in the PvE instance, you can do what's called fast travel. So if you have like whoever's the leader of your squad, you can highlight on them and hit fast travel, and that's legitimately, I don't even know that that's considered a loading screen, because it's moving you from one side of the map to the other.
Yes.
Or if you're fast traveling between maps, I mean, they can't expect you to instantly travel, so they have to simulate that in some way. Now, the PvP instance, when you're going from, you know, the regular Manhattan, going to the dark zone and going and getting ready for PvP, you open a door, you close the door, and you're in the instance. It's that simple. And even
very simple.
Even better than that is, and this is the way that Ubisoft has split apart leveling, so that way you don't have the higher level people praying, literally praying on the lower level people to get, you know, to get gear. Is like, if let's say Danny goes into the dark zone and I'm already in there and I'm like a level 12 in dark zone, him and I could be in a squad, but he can't join where I'm at. Like, we'll see each other on the map, but we're like literally split apart on two separate instances until Danny can get leveled up high enough so that he can join me. And you know what happens? There's a 30-second countdown or a 15-20-second countdown on the bottom of the screen. Him and I are still independently playing. And then as soon as that timer runs out, the screen goes black. There's a quick loading screen, or sometimes it's just instantaneous. Boom, Danny's in my instance. We're playing together. Have a nice day, and continue going. Mm-hmm. But it's they've taken all of the mistakes, and this is granted, this is 3 days in. So take this with a grain of salt. 3 days in, and there's been very, very minimal issues from a server infrastructure side. Now, some people can complain again and say that, oh, well, it's an always on game. It's 2016. It's where the gaming industry is going.
We've been dealing with this for a while.
Your phone is always on.
It's the popularity of shooter-styled games, and everybody wants to say that this. And I've said this in another show. People try to pigeonhole this game into a shooter first when it's more of an RPG with heavier shooter tendencies than the traditional MMO.
Yeah, I agree. And here's another thing too. I know Pete talked about fast travel. Honestly, Pete, I prefer to walk around the city because let me tell you, the design, it looks exactly like New York City. Like, I'll go to 34th Street. I'll go to Madison Square Garden.
So is it the scale, Danny? Same. As a native, can you recognize buildings?
Yes. Yes.
That's pretty dope.
It looks very, very official. And another thing too, Pawson, is that this is the thing that I like. I might see someone walking that maybe they just want to eat or they want a bottle of water, and I hook them up like, here's a bottle of water, man. And guess what? I'll get XP from that too. Like, you don't do that in Destiny. Destiny is you're in there, you do
the
your
only
mission,
thing there
is
the things to murder. There are no friendly AIs.
Like, I feel like with this, there's more than just doing missions. There's side missions. There's that. Like, there's you could go to, let's say randomly you're walking around and maybe there's the enemies are there trying to like rob somebody or something. So you can go in and help them with that. Kill those enemies and you know, like little things like that. Mm-hmm. I feel that there's way more things to do in this game than Destiny. You know, I like it, man. I really, really do. Is it the game of the year? No. In my opinion, it's not. Like, I don't see it that way, but I feel that this is a game that I feel that people should give it a chance and try it out, because I know people are going to compare this to Destiny, but I just don't see this as like Destiny at all. The only thing that I could say that's kind of similar is just the MMO part of it, mm-hmm. that there's so many other players playing at the same time. I haven't been to the Dark Zone yet, Pete, so I don't know how that is yet. But let me tell you, when I do the missions, it's so challenging and so, so much fun, man. So much fun. And the thing is, too, is let's say I'm walking around and I feel that, man, I want to go to this area, this mission. Let me just go there. Oh, man, I'm playing by myself. This P is not around. My friend's not around. Let me just do matchmaking on this level and I'll go and I'll randomly join somebody else's game that just starting to play with that on that mission. And I just go from there. Like, I don't know. To me, I find it a lot easier to navigate and finding people in the game. And it's not frustrating. Like, I felt like it was very frustrating with Destiny because there was a lot of puzzles and, you know, playing with P and everybody else, like doing raids. It was kind of frustrating, man. Which one we were playing, P?
That was the first raid.
No, not the first. It was like either the second.
Oh, but see, those are really considered raids. Those are like mission or level bosses.
No. Not strikes. Yeah. I'm talking about raid. Actually, raid.
Yeah, that was the first raid. That was from the first season. Wow, it's been that long since I've played it. I've already put that game on the shelf. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's done. Destiny's done. But all I'm saying is, I like this game. I really, really like it, and I'm gonna even give it some more time to play and just enjoy it. Like I feel that this is not, to me, this is not a game that, oh man, P's level 12. Oh man, I have to be level 12. No, I'm taking my time and having a blast. If P or anybody in the community that they're not on, and I want to play on my own, and I could just play with other people and just go and enjoy, man. It's not, I don't feel like it's forcing me to be like in a certain level. I'm not getting that vibe compared to like Destiny. Destiny, I feel like I had to because I want to keep up with everybody else.
My concern, and I think it's going to be the same, is are you, Danny, going to be still playing this game 30 days from now?
Here's the thing. It's not a bad thing if I stop playing within 30 days. if here's the thing, I like to try new games. So Mirror's Edge is coming out very soon. There's other games out there, like Uncharted 4 is coming out. You know, I want to try all those games. I don't want to lose an opportunity to miss out those games because of Division. So, yeah, I'll go back. If I feel like I'll go back, you know, is Pete, let me ask you, is it that important to forget about all those games and just stick with the Division?
It's not, but you have a tendency to play a game and then 30 days out, no more than 30 days out, and you're already on to the second and third game on the list, and I don't see you catching the full experience of an extended gameplay that goes on 3, 4, 5 months.
I don't see it as a bad thing. Do you see it as a bad thing, Patrick?
There's nobody saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it. I'm just bringing to light something that I've visually, you know, I'm seeing from your perspective. You don't play those games for 2, 3 months, so you miss out on those experiences, like going through multiple raids of multiple, you know, DLC and expansions on a title. You're like a one and done after 30 days. So
no. See, like with Destiny, I did all of the missions, and I took a break from Destiny because I wanted to review and talk about other games on the show. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I went back and I did all the raids with all of you guys for the first time weekly. I was doing a raid every week, you know, so I didn't miss out. It just took longer for me to do it. So I don't see that as a bad thing. I see that as more of taking my time. I'm not rushing it. You know, I want to try other games too, because, you know, if it wasn't for me stepping away from Destiny and trying out Forza, the new Forza game, or Ori, the Blind Forest, and other games, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss out, man. You know, so
okay.
I think I did the right thing. Took my time and I went back.
I would say, Danny, as like, because I play MMOs in the past and I like those type of games, I'm more inclined to stick around for the long term, things like this. But that doesn't necessarily correlate as like, I'm in there with a season pass, I'm in there guaranteed getting the expansions. I'm more concerned of like, you know, how far is, you know, that initial $60 going to carry me content wise before I basically hit that paywall, being like, oh, if you want to continue playing with your buddies, you got to cough up money for, you know, the new content. And, you know, we've been having that issue since, you know, Call of Duty has been selling $15 map packs for years. I mean, that's always going to be the problem. You know, if you want to stick with a game for long enough, you're going to have to pony up the money for it. So I'm just curious to know, like, you know, once we talk about, like, you know, say, as Pete said, it's all 30 days from now. You know, we'll talk about the Division again, obviously. We'll compare and contrast how far we've gone, how much content we feel like we've accessed. We feel like we've beaten everything. And like Danny said, you know, other games are going to come out. But, you know, I guess it just, you have to have that type of personality where it's like, you know, oh, I want to see what's new in, you know, the world of Division. And I guess it's more of an issue of, you know, how much are they going to update?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing that I noticed, that Ubisoft has learned from the mistakes that Bungie made with Destiny. And I feel that they're doing it the right way. I'm not saying their launch is extremely perfect, but at least they mention, okay, what are the games, what are the type of expansion and DLC that's coming out for the whole year? We didn't get that from Bungie at all. It was like a mystery. We don't know what was going to come out. We had to wait to either the weekly updates on the website for them to give us like little teasers here and there, that even people didn't know anything about the raid. We were just like, man, what's up with this raid thing? How is it going to be? You know what I'm saying? So I feel that Ubisoft have been doing a great job on that. Okay, here some of the things that are coming out, and at least they're giving you an advance notice, like, okay, we have a lot of content for the whole year. You know, am I right, P, or no?
I don't know. I just
P is like, man, I want to wait for the 30 days and then go from there.
Well, that's again, and that's probably the deciding factor for this game, whether it survives. And that's probably the way to say every game, especially with a heavy multiplayer component, you know, like something like this is online only. That's going to, if you can survive the 30-day period, then you've got it. Then you have a triple A franchise with a lifespan that could go several iterations. So a lot of that remains to be seen.
Yes. So we got to move on because we have like so many topics. So there you go. 30 minutes of Division for you, all you listeners out there that have been asking talk about the Division.
I'm very sure we're going to have a lot of happy people as a result of that, because I know everybody's asking questions.
Yeah. So, by the way, guys, have you seen the Captain America Civil War?
Yes.
Trailer, the new
one? Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And wow. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, pause the show, run over to YouTube, look it up. It's great. And one of the other things that is really, really cool about it is, you know, they've got the whole Team Cap versus, they're playing up the Team Cap versus Team Tony dynamic. And you know what else is doing the versus concept?
Who?
Loot Crate.
Oh yes, Loot Crate.
Yeah,
definitely.
So this month,
that's a pretty cool theme though.
Yeah, so this month Loot Crate is celebrating the concept of versus. You know, so you got the Dark Knight versus Man of Steel, Team Cap versus Team Tony, Alien versus Predator, Harley Quinn versus everyone. Go Harley.
Or P versus Paris.
Hey,
they're going at it all the time.
Emerald versus PS4. The competition goes on forever. But for those that aren't aware, Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for geeks, gamers, nerds, people who enjoy pop culture. God knows, if I just look over to the right, I've got way too many figures and toys that a 42-year-old should own in his office. But you know, you could do that too for less than $20 a month. You know, you can get gear, apparel, collectibles, comic books, and stuff like that. And if you order up until the 19th of March by 9 p.m. Pacific and subscribe, you can get that month's Loot Crate for, $3 off of the new subscription by going over to lootcrate.com/gamertag and enter the code gamertag. And it's pretty cool because, I mean, every crate has somewhere about a little bit over $40 worth of value. And again, this could be in the form of shirts. I've gotten cups or you know, like coffee mugs and t-shirts. I've gotten a comic book. You know, it's pretty cool. It's like paying $40 to a friend that knows exactly what you want, and then every month knocks on your door and you get a box with all of the stuff that you really, really dig. So if you can, awesome, and you're interested, stop on over to lootcrate.com/gamertag. Enter the code gamertag. Get $3 off any new subscription. The past couple of crates over the past 6 months have been pretty dope. There's been Star Wars, Marvel. There was a Guardians of the Galaxy one a while back. The Walking Dead, Legend of Zelda. So, you know, if those are things that you could be, you know, that you're interested in, I'd suggest stopping on over to lootcrate.com. Check it out.
Definitely, man. By the way, Deep Silver, the publisher of Dead Island 2, they finally found some new developers now for this game. Thank Remember it got canceled?
God, I really want to play this game. I'm glad it survived its turbulent development cycle.
I have a couple question marks on this one, but let me know what you think, Pawson.
Okay.
Sumo Digital is going to be the new developer for this game, Dead Island 2. Mm-hmm. For those that don't know about Sumo Digital,
don't feel bad if you
don't.
They're
the ones that worked on Little Big Planet 3, Sonic All-Star Racing, and Transform. And then there's more other games out there,
and they did the 360 version of Forza Horizon 2 as well. So they have a pretty interesting, diverse track record. Disney Infinity 3.0. They helped develop that as well. So they've kind of been all over the place for a long time. If you go check out their links, they've been making games since 2004, way back. And they used to make like Outrun and Virtua Tennis, things like that. So they have a diverse track record. I'm curious to what they'll do with this type of game. You know, looking at their previous archive, it seems like they have never really made a first-person shooter of any kind before. So this will be a first for them. And it could be really interesting because, you know, usually you associate certain developers as shooter developers. That's their trademark, what they're good at, you know. So for a company like this, it's never really had any you know, experimentation in that space before. It's kind of exciting because Dead Island, you know, originally was a very pretty far out there game idea that was so severely limited by the technology that the original developer Techland had at that time. And of course, they went on to go make last year's amazing Dying Light. And then, of course, the expansion The Following, which came out, which was a lot of fun. So it'd be curious to know what they can do with this zombie idea from a new developer with fresh faces. And I mean, in my opinion, a pretty ambitious idea, because essentially they are the ones that are carrying, you know, the legacy of Left 4 Dead 2 at this point. You know, if any indication yes. of like what the original announcement trailer was, the design process, what the lighter tone they're going for as opposed to the more serious tone that Dying Light has. So there's definitely a market for this. I don't even think it's that niche, honestly. I think this is one of those games that would appeal to a large amount of people if it's marketed right and if it plays right, too. So it's very tough. You know, I do not envy their position, but I'm very excited now to know that this has been revived. Because for me, like, I can always play a zombie game. Like, they don't get repetitive to me as long as there's some innovation there, something they do unique that no one else has done before. And, you know, again, we're going off of an old CGI announcement trailer from last year. That was, of course, a different developer with Jaeger back then. So we'll see. I wish Sumo Digital the best of luck. I'm very excited to check out what they have planned for us. I hope it has a presence at E3. I'd love to see more of it. But yeah, it sounds good to me. You know, more Dead Island, you know, especially if it's a fun, enjoyable game. That comes first, more importantly. Don't worry about content. Just make sure your base game is actually fun and then add content on top of that. A lot of people get this reversed.
I'm not concerned with the level of skill for the developers. I mean, we're talking about people that have played, that have created. These are people. You know, there's people on the Sumo team that used to work at Bizarre, and if I'm not mistaken, Black Rock Studio. So they have experience on games like this. They're actually doing Crackdown 3 still, you know, which is slated for later this year. So it's not like there's going to be a total first time, you know, experience, you know, doing some kind of a, you know, a shooter type game. Mm-hmm. You know, a single player player versus everyone type experience again. Hey, they worked on Geometry Wars. I think it was Touch, Retro Evolved 2, PGR 4, 2, or actually PGR 2, 3, and actually the entire PGR was all Bizarre Creations. Blur, which was an amazing game.
Love that game.
Yeah. So, you know, these people, you know, they know what they're doing. You know, it's, they've got a pretty decent track record coming up behind them. So, you know, granted, a lot of it might be sports or car related. So I don't know.
Dead Island Racing.
Dead Island Racing. God, you know. Yeah. You heard it here first. Miss Cleo.
Exclusive. Yeah. By the way, Gears of War 4 runs at 1080p, 30 frames per second in campaign, and 60 frames per second in multiplayer. This is in one of the newest issues of Game Informer. Make sure to check it out. There's like a lot of information about the new Gears of War 4 that's coming out later this year. But what are your thoughts about that, guys?
I'm not happy, personally. But again, I'd have to play it first. So I can only imagine what it must run like. I mean, obviously, you know, based off the initial trailer, we know it's going to be a dark survival horror nighttime based game. So the lighting is probably going to take up a lot of the processing power of the Xbox One. So I'd have to see it in motion. Again, I don't have anything particularly against 30 frames per second games. As a console gamer for 20 years, I never really thought about that kind of stuff. Now that I play on PC, it is a bit more at the forefront of my mind. But again, you know, the key part of the years for me has always been the multiplayer aspect. A lot of people disagree with me on that one. But, you know, if they can really do something amazing with Gears 4 multiplayer and make it just enough like the original one to get me hooked, yes. And, you know, of course, all the other fans that love the original Gears of War so much. But, of course, add something new to it that makes it unique in Gears 4 flavor and add 60 frames per second, that's a big deal. You know, I really hope this is going to be a big competitive game for Microsoft, certainly for the Coalition. I'm excited for it. So for me, the campaign is secondary at this point. I'm going to enjoy playing it, but I don't feel like I'll have the fervor that maybe I used to when, you know, the novelty of it, you know, 2006 was like, oh man, two-player, you know, buddy co-op, you know, adventure war movie game. This is amazing. You know, jump forward 10 years later, now it's more of like, you know, oh, what's the single-player part like? You know, I might try the co-op here and there. Depends on what it's like. But for me, the multiplayer is the forefront of my mind. So I'm happy that 60 frames per second, but I'd have to wait and see, you know, what does the single player look like in motion? I'm not going to judge it purely off of just the numbers aspect. But it's pause for concern, I think. At least in my opinion.
P, anything else? No? You done?
I don't know if, just me personally, I don't know if just the Gears of War train has left. Like, it's left the station and...
I think we'll know for sure that E3. I mean, either it's going to wow us or it's not, and we're just going to be like, oh, okay, I guess I'll play that because, you know, we already have Xbox Ones. So kind of like Halo 5. We were pretty divisive on Halo 5 last year.
I will say...
We all played it anyways.
I will say the one thing that keeps reminding me of Gears of War is the Division, because you've got the jump... roll away.
I knew it. Yeah.
It's there. As long as I don't have Brian shooting me with headshots from across the game, I'll be okay. I'll just keep enjoying it.
All right. By the way, right now, you know, I haven't imported a game in a while, since maybe the early 2000s. The reason is because I used to live in New York City, so I could just go to the store in Chinatown and just buy games from Japan there, imported games. So, but there's an easy way now to buy games from Japan. Amazon now sells Japanese video games internationally. The good thing is that PlayStation 4 and Xbox is region free. Doesn't matter if the games were anywhere around the world, you could play it. You can't do that with a Nintendo systems like the Wii U or 3DS, it won't work at all.
Huge mistake by Nintendo.
Very huge mistake. So hopefully the next system, they probably will have it region-free too. So, but here's the thing. It's not every game that you could buy through this website on Amazon and that they could send it and ship it over here to the States. There's certain games, I think it's because maybe companies are... They don't want to take that risk. I mean, I don't know with all this stuff. But there's other games that you could definitely buy and it will ship it to your house with no problem. You know, so is there any games that you would like to import from Japan, either on a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One?
No, because I was going to say the first ones that jump to mind are 3DS games, and it reminds me how angry I am that I can't play them. So things like Detective Pikachu, you know, if we don't ever get that in America, well, too bad. You can't play that unless you got a Japanese 3DS. So
there was one person that was trying to buy Phantasy Star Online 2 for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working. It didn't work.
Yeah, so, I imagine you probably need Japanese servers for that.
I would have, honestly, I would have done that right away.
I don't know. I guess I'm so fallen out of touch with the Japanese game development scene over the recent years because the focus has been so much on what we're doing in North America, developer-wise. So for me, like, I mean, there certainly are PS4 games I'm excited for down the road. Certainly things from Square Enix like Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy 15. Those are games I know they're going to be localized, so I don't have to worry about that. I probably would have to dig deep to find something that I actually like really want to play on the PS4. But I feel like I just stopped paying attention because I feel like for the longest time that it just would make me mad to be like, oh man, I sure wish I could play that. But, you know, it's region locked. But yeah, there's certainly we have some listeners out there that are people that are the type that import games and have some recommendations of they think that are cool Japanese PS4 games that we're never going to get. I'd love to hear recommendations because this is a cool move by Amazon. I never bought anything off PlayAsia in the past, but I have friends that have very frequently. So I know this will be big news for them.
I
definitely.
Yeah. So one more topic. Poss, I know you sent this in right before we recorded, so go for it, man.
Yeah, so actually, remember we talked about a couple weeks ago that we got like that first single-player campaign trailer for the new Doom 4 coming out, and we all talked about, you know, our thoughts on the single-player aspect. But now we've got the other side of the coin here. Now we have our first multiplayer trailer officially from Doom 4, or Doom as they call it. And it looks bananas, let's be honest. I mean, this to me is a fusion of Quake, Unreal Tournament. I even see some Halo in there, if you will, all wrapped up in this ridiculously gorgeous, you know, from what I can tell, 1080p 60 frame per second package of, you know, a lot of pretty diverse game types. Obviously, you have a deathmatch, team deathmatch, capture the flag, things like that. But you also have these new aspects you're taking from the campaign where you can pick up these demon runes that spawn and you become one of the different demons, like the imps, you know, like the big, large, you know, devil looking monsters, and you can literally pick up other players and rip them apart, rip them to pieces. But it's not one-sided. Then at the end of the trailer, we start seeing some takedown moves by the humans on the people playing monsters as well. So there definitely is a balance here. It's not something that's going to be unfair or frustrating. But yeah, if you've missed Twitch-based arena shooters, this could be your salvation. Obviously, a lot of people have been enjoying what Epic's been doing with Unreal Tournament on PC. That's been open beta for a while now. That's a lot of fun as well. But for me, this looks way more engaging. I was a pretty big fan of what Doom 3's multiplayer was back 10 years ago. This, to me, looks like an even better version of that because it's faster, ooh, okay. It's more fluid. It doesn't feel like it's... Just going off the impressions I'm taking from the gameplay video, obviously I haven't played this game physically yet, but it looks like a very fluid, fast-paced, enjoyable corridor green Twitch shooter, which really isn't even in existence anymore. I guess Halo 5 tried to do that with the arena mode, but again, it's Halo. It's a totally different type of game entirely. Doom has a pedigree, and you know a lot of expectations are always been on Doom. They always have been. A lot of people were actually disappointed with Doom 3 because it was survival horror and was not the hard-up, you know, straight shooting experience that Doom 2 was. This looks a lot more like Doom 2. So if you really enjoyed that type of super fast-paced, Twitch-based gameplay, this looks right up your alley. So for me, I'm super excited now. I was already all in for the campaign. It looked amazing. It looked fun. Now that I've got multiplayer, now I'm more excited. Yeah, because like this to me is a complete $60 game worth every penny. The more I see, the more I want to play it. So I'm pumped for this. I mean, really, I'm really looking forward to playing this. And honestly, spending equal time between mouse and keyboard and the Xbox One controller as well. Because it's definitely the kind of game that I would alternate between both because they both look like fun ways to play the game. And then, of course, as we mentioned before, you're going to have those Doom snap maps. You're going to have those, you know, those custom created tools that players can use to make new maps, new game modes, things like that.
So there's
really
gonna be like so many.
Yeah, there's a
there's
lot.
There's gonna be so many
this.
Levels and everything too.
And I think you know the Doom community has been there for the long haul, and they're gonna come in full force for this. Bringing in a lot of new players that haven't probably had any experience with Doom whatsoever. So this is great news. I'm really pumped that Doom is coming back in a big way. It looks like they're taking everything up to like 11 on the scale. It's gorgeous. It looks fun. It's bloody as hell. Again, I think you have to be a little bit dead on the inside not to get your heart pumping when you watch these kind of trailers for Doom. So I'm excited to bring it on, man. Can't wait to play this game.
P, any thoughts before we wrap it up?
I said it a while back. I'm not sold on Doom. I don't see this game.
That's fine.
It's fine, but it's my opinion. I don't see this having a 3 month lifespan, anything longer than a 2 to 3 month lifespan. I see it as a, I don't know, just a evolve with the Doom skin.
You know, there's going to be listeners
that's
like,
harsh.
You know what it is? There's going to be some listeners that are going to hit us up like, man, so what? Game needs to be a lifespan for 3 months in order to be fun?
Yes.
You don't have to. Look at Unravel. Look at Ori. Those are very short games, and they're game of the year contenders, and it's not a month or 3 months lifespan. I don't see that with those games.
But those are one and done styled games. And plus you can't compare a $20 game to a $60. You can't compare a $20 IP to a $60 IP.
Yeah, I could compare Rocket League to this and there's still people to this day playing that and it's cheaper than the $60 game. So it to me, a game that is fun, it doesn't matter the type of content, it doesn't matter if it's short or long or like games like The Division and Destiny, that's like more like will take months and months and months because of the new content coming in all the time. What matters is that you're having fun as a gamer. It doesn't matter what type it is, man. Look at Tetris. Simple game. You're doing the same thing over and over again. It was a very cheap game, but there's people that still to this day is playing it. You know, so it doesn't matter the content, Pete. It doesn't matter the length, yeah, man.
I mean,
I think
I'll defend that Pete here. There's nothing wrong with not being excited about this. I mean, again, I was getting excited because I'm, you know, I've been so into first-person shooters for years. But like, again, this is one of those games that you can definitely take it at face value. If that doesn't look interesting to you, I guarantee you the game itself is not going to change your view of it. It's not going to have some amazing Bioshock-level story twist in there. So again, what you see is what you're going to get, and I'm fine with that. I have no issue with a game that's straight up honest about what it is, what it's going to offer. And so for me, yeah. I think that's definitely worth it. It's like the kind of game I want to play. I haven't played a game like that in quite some time, so I'm excited to play it for sure. But that's cool, Pete. Totally respect your opinion that it doesn't like looking interesting to you. That's fine.
Look, I don't agree with it. I have to say it just to the debate with Pete, man. So Pete, no, I don't like it, man. I'm messing with you. It's all good. Meh. And Pete's like, meh. It's all salt.
I'll fight you.
Salty guy.
I'll fight you. I'm still, and you know what else?
What?
I'm still waiting for Paris to come and shut me up for the last 20 minutes of the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he talked all that smack. He talked all that. So I already got him. I already threw the barbs on Twitter. So he was supposed to shut me up for the final 20 minutes, be amazed that I was supposed to disappear right before his eyes. And I don't know. He didn't show up.
He disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah. He's on the bench.
Hashtag shots fired to Paris. Yeah, it's all good. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Go over there and subscribe. Listen to the podcast. Share with your friends. You can find us iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. We are everywhere. Just spread the word. Also, take a short 3-minute survey and help GTR. Go to playitsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Hopefully we'll be back next week. Well, actually, no. We're Thursday. New episode is coming out this Thursday, so tune in. And we have some goodies coming up. Yeah, so maybe stay tuned.
Maybe Paris will make an appearance.
Yeah, I know, right? Or maybe he will disappear and go to...
I'll be back. I'll be in the dark zone by then.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully I'm going to take my time with it. So we'll see. All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.